And all God's people said, thank you so much, Sienna. Thank you for bringing us the music of heaven this morning. So good to be in God's house, amen. And I just want to thank you, Sienna. You're home from school, from Loma Linda, and just thank you for coming and blessing us again. Grew up in this church, and good to have you back in your home church again. I want to give a special welcome to all the students who are home. It is so good to see you, to all of our students. We're so glad to see you here in church. And another student who led us in prayer, and this is Pastor Ashok, who's home from Andrews University at seminary. And thank you for leading us to the throne of grace today and for being willing to preach next Sabbath as well. So
rumor has it that he's passing all of his classes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Squeaking by.
That's good. Well, so good to see each of you, and good to be in God's house, especially on a day, the beginning of the new year, right at the threshold of the new year. I love this, that we can enter right into the house of God and give Him praise, honor, and glory, and come to the table of the Lord, to the table of no condemnation, no separation in Christ Jesus. So the year of our Lord, 2021 it is. But before we just completely walk away from 2020, I just want to kind of throw a question out there. It's for you, but it's for Pastor Emily, Pastor Greg as well. But I'm just wondering, you know, how does it feel to kind of have 2020 like in the rearview mirror? Does anybody feel bad that it's gone, that it's passed? Can I see the hands of those who are, you know, what do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they say that hindsight is 2020.
Oh, that's so good.
I mean, I couldn't resist. It was like a softball over the plate. That didn't happen in first service.
No, that didn't happen in first service.
But it's
I
good.
Love
it
jokes.
Is good to have it in the rearview mirror, I can tell you that. And I think I could probably get an amen or two out there.
It's just so interesting to think how this time last year, you know, we didn't have any idea of what this year was going to be, was going to hold. And I think, I don't know, I was one of those people that just came into this year with just such utter optimism and everything. And it's just so interesting to see how it's turned. And so I think that keeping that in mind and entering into a new year, it's not like all of a sudden there's going to be this reset because it's a new year. It's not the trauma or whatever that happened in the past year. It's not like it's all of a sudden going to leave behind in a year. No, it's going to carry with us into this new year. So I think that the difference for me is kind of entering into a new year with a new perspective. Instead of having kind of this blind optimism of, oh, this is going to be a great year just because it's a new year. No, it can be a new year, a good new year, because you're intentional about it and about making the most of a new year. Even if crazy things come, I think that this year has shown, okay, we can still have positive experiences even in the midst of chaos. So,
You know, I was privileged to have a procedure this week that I'm not going to share. I'm going to spare you any details, but I'll just tell you this, that I had a procedure, and before I was put under, I had an opportunity to have conversation with my doc. And what a blessing to have a physician, a doctor who's right there. Well, what a prayer he prayed for me before I fell asleep. It was amazing. And before that, we were talking together a little bit, and I said, well, you know, is your church, are you meeting in person? And we had a conversation around that. And then he said to me, he said, it's been so good to be in person. He said, but I got to tell you this. He said, this 2020, he said, there's something about 2020 that I'm very, very thankful for. And as part of it, I don't want it to end. And I thought, well, I said, no, I want it to end. I'm ready for us to turn the page there. And he said, well, but here's the thing. He said that everything has been shaken. Things are being shaken, and they're being shaken so hard. He said that what it meant was that this was the year that we as the people of God had to come and just cling to the rock. The rock, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is. And as we come and we cling to Him, He said, we're pressing into Christ, He said, in ways that we haven't before. He said, I don't want to go back to normal. You hear that? I don't want to go back to normal. I'm going, oh, wow, thank you. Thank you for that testimony, you know, to give me that perspective on what it is that God's been doing in this year. That what He's doing is He's drawing us, He's bringing us closer to Him, because everything else that we've stood on and counted on, all that stuff's being shaken, and we're knowing we've got only one place to stand, and that's the rock, the solid rock, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That's the place we stand. He is our life. And so, yes, thank you, Lord, for what you have taught us through this very difficult year of 2020, the year of our Lord 2020. And now here we are in the threshold, having stepped and crossed the threshold into the year of our Lord 2021. And there is a passage of Scripture that is just right to enter this new year with, and it's Romans 8:28. Anybody ever heard of Romans 8:28 before? Romans 8:28. I mean, here it is. I'm reading from the ESV, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Here's a word that we can have at the start of the year to go, okay, we can give this year to Him, and we can trust Him through this thing. Now, Pastor Greg, you were referencing, as we were working together, you said, hey, there's another reading of this. Mm. And in fact, it's even in the notes now that I found at the bottom of my head. I didn't realize before. But yeah. Kind of share that with us, please.
Well, we were just talking about the reality that sometimes this verse is almost a smack in the face. You know, if you're going through a difficult experience, if you've had an unanswered prayer, if someone that you have prayed for healing for ends up dying, you know, this verse can smart a little bit. And in fact, sometimes it's been used as well-meaning encouragement from Christians to people who are going through difficult times. You know, don't worry, everything works for good because you love Jesus and this is all going to work out great. And that's not really what the text says. Mm. The text actually says that in everything, God is at work for the good of those who love Him. And it just reminded me of the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and they did something evil that was meant for evil. But at the end of the story, Joseph is able to say what was meant for evil, what the enemy meant for evil, God used it for his good. And so I think this verse is just a beautiful reminder that even in the difficult stuff that we faced in 2020, God is at work to bring about good. And He's a specialist at being able to bring us, and if the good is alone that we become more and more dependent on Him, then that's good enough.
Yeah. So it's that translation that you just shared really comes from the NIV and from several other translations that puts the emphasis on God being at work. I love it. It's up there right now. We know that in all things, now here comes the emphasis, God works for the good of those who love Him. I love that reading. In all things, God works for the good of those. It isn't like stuff just kind of sort of happens that way. God's the ones at work making this good come out of it.
And something else that that I was thinking about too in this passage is that I think it's important to also understand this in light of what comes before this in Romans chapter 8, especially in verse 18, because I think that's something that's important to keep in mind is that while we are not citizens of this earth, and so while we're living here on earth, there is going to be suffering. And we're kind of stuck in this tension between the now and the not yet. We have the promise of the future glory, and we get a part of that glory now, but we don't get the full thing of it, right? We can have peace, but it's not going to be complete peace. We can have shalom, but it's not going to be fully complete shalom. Why? Because we still live here on earth. We still are living in this sinful earth. And so I think that's something to keep in mind as we read that God works everything together for the good of those who love God, because that ultimate good might not actually be the ultimate good on earth. Mm. That might be the good that is to come, in which the kingdom of heaven fully comes and God brings complete restoration here on earth. Mm. We get a taste of that good, just a mere taste of what that good can be here on earth. And I think that's powerful to keep in mind that God doesn't promise a life where plans go the exact same way and where everything is just perfect and wonderful. But what He does promise us is that we can get a taste of the world to come. Yeah. We can get a taste of heaven. Romans 8:23 says, "We believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us." That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Even though you may have the Holy Spirit living within you, we're still going to be groaning because there's going to be some tough times here on this earth. But it says, "As a foretaste of the future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering, and we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us."
Ooh, that's powerful. Full rights as adopted children, and even our bodies redeemed and everything made right. So God's at work in all things for the good. Mm-hmm. In that passage, as we step into this new year, what we can know is that in the next verse, which is verse 29, one of the things that we realize right there is 2020 did not catch the Lord by surprise. 2021 is not going to catch him by surprise either. If you look at these words in 29 and 30, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. The ones that God foreknew. Notice that God's, and this is beyond, this omniscience is beyond our comprehension. But for him to foreknow, know ahead, and he says that foreknowledge comes before this predestination. I love the picture of predestination because he says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be like Jesus in this world. That's God's purpose, that we be like that. In this foreknowledge piece, what did he foreknow? You know, John 12, verse 32 says, Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I'm going to draw all people to myself. What God knows is that he draws all people, not just some people, not just the elect people. He draws all people to himself. God knows those who will say yes to being drawn and those who will dig in the heel and say, never, I will not go to that cross. I will not go to that Jesus. God knows that. And for those that he knows that, for those of us who are here saying yes to him, then he says, I've predestined you to be shaped into the image of Jesus, to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus loves in this world. That's biblical predestination. And what a blessing that is to know that picture. And what a loving God that would do it in this way.
Thanks for clarifying that word, because it's a word that we often misunderstand. Many Christians teach that predestination means that God has already pre-decided who is going to be saved and who is going to be lost, and there's nothing that we can do to change his decision. But biblical predestination, help us understand, what is biblical predestination?
That biblical predestination is this, God knowing as he draws us. When I was a kid, I used to love, my uncle gave me a gift of some magnets for my birthday, you know, and so here I am. I used to love getting those magnets as close as I could to like a nail or something, and I'd try to just get it and draw it toward it without it catching me or whatever. But that idea, I think of Jesus, here he is. He's the lodestone. I mean, he's the one that is, he's drawing us to him, and the Lord, the Father knows, he knows who will say yes and who sadly will say no, tragically will say no. Knowing that, he's already predestined us who are saying yes to become to love like Jesus in this world. And what a gift and what an opportunity for us to go, oh man, okay, God, so I'm in the midst of your purpose, in the midst of all this mess. We're in the midst of your purpose. And he goes on to say this, that those that conform to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. All of us together, Jesus, our firstborn brother in this. And then he says, verse 30, and those whom he predestined, he also called. Now, as the Apostle Paul writes this, he's remembering back to the day when he was heading in there about high noon on the road to Damascus. And on that road, he heard someone call his name, Saul, Saul. You know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And here he's remembering there was in that moment he was called. What he's saying here is, oh, before I was called, God already foreknew and he'd already predestined me. And the moment came when the right moment, bang, he calls me. And when I'm called, at that point, he says he's going to call me. And those he calls, he also justifies. Remember, after 3 days of blindness, here comes Ananias. And the very first thing, when Ananias prays for him and the scales fall off his eyes and he sees again, the very first thing is Ananias says, do you want to be baptized? And Saul says, yes, baptize me. He says he's now justified, just as if he's never sinned, died with Christ, raised up with Christ as a new creation man. And those whom he's justified, are already seated with Christ in heavenly places, glorified with him. What an amazing picture of God's purpose in our lives. So you go, okay, we can know this. No matter what, because you were saying, Pastor Emily, like who could ever imagine what this year would have been? Like last New Year's Eve, we had no idea. Well, this New Year's Eve, we have no idea. But we know this is the God who's with us. And I love these next verses, Pastor Emily, 30 and 31, if you would just lead us into those.
It says this, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And I was just reflecting up here, but the power is a powerful thing when someone believes in you. Maybe you can probably think into one part of your life where you had a gift, you had a talent, you had a story, and someone came alongside you, put their arm around you, and believed in you and empowered you to do great things, whether it was giving you the courage to maybe step out and get a new job or ask someone on a date. That's an act of faith right there too. Whatever it is, but we've all had someone that believes in us. Working at camp, we'd get so many kids coming into camp, and they would just not have a lot of confidence in themselves because they came from pretty broken homes. And it was just so interesting to see the transformation over their life as their counselors and people that worked at camp came alongside them and said, no, you can do this. I know this is a challenging act, but you can do this, and we believe in you. And their demeanor completely changes. There's something powerful when someone comes alongside of us and believes in us. And what this passage is saying is that God believes in us. God is for us. And so who could ever be against us? And so while the odds might seem like they're not in our favor in tricky circumstances, I think it's powerful to recognize that God is for you. He's not against you. He wants your well-being. He wants you to flourish. He is for you. He's prayed for you. John 17 is a prayer that Jesus has prayed for you. And I think that's a powerful thing because then it goes on to say that, you know, since he did not even spare his own son but gave him up, won't he also give us everything else? So not only is God for us, but he has promised you to give you everything else. So how does that change our prayer life? Sometimes I wonder, I think sometimes I pray the bare minimal prayers like, oh, God doesn't actually care about this area of my life, when I forget, oh, wait, God has given me access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And since he didn't even spare his own son but gave him up, how much more will he give me all things? And so I challenge you guys this year to pray hard, big prayers. Prayers that maybe you're like, oh, I don't know if I should be praying for that because I've been dreaming about this for so long and I don't know if God would actually really answer this prayer. But I challenge you guys that God cares about you. God is for you. And if he didn't spare his own son, how much more is he going to give you all things?
Yeah. You know, I love in Psalm 118, I discovered this one day I was reading. I went, oh, wow, look at this. Paul doesn't just come up with the, okay, he's actually been trained as he's been reading through the Psalms and praying through the Psalms, that in verse 18, 118, verse 5, it says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and he set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isn't that good? That's Psalm 118, 5 and 6. He says, the Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What, no matter what is thrown at me? And so those with that understanding of this God who's for us, not against us, we now come to a who. You know, it's just like three who's there that just line up in a row. And that first one, 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's going to condemn? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised to life, who's at the right hand of the God and interceding for us. So here are these who's that come out. He's just laying them out there.
There's actually a who in verse 31 as well. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Mm-hmm. And I love that these three or four who's are really a complete shutdown on the work of the devil. Yeah.
Yes.
If you think about it, I mean, who can be against us? Who is against us?
The enemy. I mean,
the scripture teaches that the evil one is against us, right? That Satan is a roaring lion seeking that who he might be able to devour. And the scripture just says, who can ever be against us? And the implied answer to that first one is no one. We know that because we get down to the second one. Who dares to accuse us? Who's the accuser of the brethren? The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And it says, who dares to accuse us? No one. Satan is a nobody. Huh. It says, who will condemn us? No one. We know that Satan's the one who brings condemnation, who brings accusation in our lives. And so I love that this passage is just a complete undermining and shutdown on the work of the evil one.
Amen. Amen.
And something else, too, that's interesting is that it kind of reminds me of a courtroom in a way. You can almost imagine, you can see that there's, you know, the judge, right? And he's asking, who accuses, you know, who will condemn you, you know, who can ever be against you? And there's kind of silence, right? as we wait for the answer. Who is it? Because we feel that condemnation. Oh. We feel that guilt, right, because of sin.
We know all the things that...
Yeah, exactly. We know everything. Well, we know our wrongdoings better than anybody else, right? But instead, we hear no one. No one's condemning you. No one is accusing you. And it kind of reminds me of John chapter 8 when there was a woman that was caught in adultery, right? And she's kind of thrown out. You can almost imagine her, you know, kind of huddled on the ground as she's waiting for her accusers to throw a stone at her. Mm-hmm. And Jesus asked her, you know, there's no one. There's no one throwing stones at you. There's no one that's condemning you, and neither I condemn you as well. And I think that that gives so much hope for us because there are those questions. You know, we feel that on the inside. We know our wrongdoings, but the reality is that there is no one standing here accusing you. There is no one condemning you, for Jesus Christ has died for you, and he has placed you in a place of honor in God's eyes.
Beautiful. It really, he's picking up here, really, from what he said at the beginning of Romans 8, where he said in Romans 8, 1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then you go down to the end of verse 2, and in verse 3, he says, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for a sin offering, he condemned sin in the flesh. So he condemns a sin, and what he's saying is, no condemnation for you who are in Christ. He says, yes, I condemn this sin, but no condemnation for you because you're in Christ. Just like the psalm said, you're free. You're free in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the gift of God in Christ. Now we come to that last who. The last who in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And here comes this long list of bad stuff. So tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. And I wrote one more in there, COVID-19. Who's going to separate us from the love of God in Christ? I mean, the next verse, he says, for your sake, we are being killed all day long, like sheep is being slaughtered. I mean, that's the picture of the enemy coming and just wreaking death on this planet and on the lives of God's children. But he asked the question, who shall separate us? And that, this verse has become the verse that we are going to make our theme for this year as we enter into it. You remember that last year, we come to a better word. It says, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, the blood of Christ, who is the Lamb of God. This year, we're inviting you to look at a new theme. And the theme is inseparable. From that verse, verse 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Now, I want to ask you a question. Anybody see a picture here? Does anybody see a picture that really speaks to you? Or does this look like it's a bunch of crazy, chaotic lines just being jumbled all together? I got to tell you, may I see the hands of those who see a picture? Okay, there's several of you do. How many of you just say, wow, look at this chaos of lines. What in the world? How could you ever put anybody else like that with me? I got to share with you. Here it is. My words to Randy. This is Randy Bann who found this in his... Thank you, Randy, so much. If you're listening to us right now, for leading us to this. But I responded to him on Sunday, December 6th at 9:22 a.m. And this is what I said. Good morning, Randy. This image isn't quite, quote-unquote, singing for me. Can you give us some other options? Pastor G, okay? So there it is. Because I'm looking, I didn't like it. It spoke to me too much of what 2020 felt like. It's just too chaotic. It's been too crazy. It's just like just everything, all the stuff we had tried to put together. No, it just all came apart. Well, following that, Randy called me, and he said, "Okay." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I can put together some other options." He said, "But first of all, I just want to ask you, did you see the mom? Did you see the parent holding the baby?" I said, "What?" He said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Huh?" And I go back to it, and
The light dawned.
And all at once, I'm going to give you a clue here. Okay, can you guys see it as well? Okay, but
it really is a brain thing. Some people see it right away, and others it's just not apparent, and that's the way it is.
It took me like 3 days until Randy told me. He says, "Look for this." So I started looking, and all at once I realized, oh, here's a lock of hair. Here comes a forehead and the eye and the nose and the mouth and the chin. And here's the head of a baby. And all at once, is anybody that didn't see it starting to see it now? Let me share with you what, when again, some of the language here, when we were engaging together, because I went back and I came back and said, oh, now I see it. Now it's singing for me. And I, at that point, I said, how about you, Greg and Emily? And I reached out to them. And then Randy responded, ha, ha, that's great, he said. And he started laying that. By the way, Ed and Pastor Shoke, could you hand out, because we have some bookmarks with this on it. And if we could hand that out so people could actually have one for their Bible as they're going into this new year. And Pastor Greg says, looks great. And Pastor Emily said, love it. And then here's Randy says, I'm not a preacher, but design/art is a vehicle for sharing a powerful message. I see so much depth in this the more I look at it. And here are the points that he wants to share. Our lives, you know, 2020, our lives often feel like chaos, like just a jumble. But when you step back and you look at our journey, you can see that Jesus was holding us like a child the entire time. Amen?
That really calls back to Romans 8:28. Mm-hmm. Yes. In all things, God is at work. From where we sit, we may just see scribbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the view's different when you see it from the perspective of the artist.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. He said, like this single line drawing, and this was a single line that flowed through. He said, like this single line drawing, God is never separated or disconnected from us. So he says, in this line drawing, there was a single line that came all the way through in the design of this, that God never went, oh, I think I'll pick up the pen for a while and just let you go on your own. He's going, no, I'm there with you. Next point, God is the ultimate artist and the creator of our lives. And his masterpiece is a message of his intimate relationship with each one of us. And then no matter what role or position or relationship we have in life, in the eyes of God, we are always seen as his children. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. And one last piece, he said, not everyone sees the image right away. Just like the hand of God, once you do see it, you can't not see it. Did you catch that? Once you do see it, you can't not see it. And that, I thought of that this morning when I walked in and saw for the first time on the banner. And I went and I saw it immediately. I went, oh, and I just immediately said, that's beautiful. In the midst of the chaos, there is God, and he's got us, and he's got this, and he's got this year of 2021. Pastor Greg, can you take us right into verse 37 there as we reach this kind of climax of joy at the end of the verse?
Sure. It says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow, what a picture. That key at the end. In Christ Jesus, if you and I, we're in Christ, buried with him in baptism, raised up, here we are, we're in Christ, then that means all of these things, none of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. None of them. And it really struck me last night. I sat and I just counted up and I went, oh, there's 10 items here. By the way, isn't it interesting? What's the first one at the top of the list that can't separate us?
Death.
For I am convinced that neither, we have the phrase, you know, life or death. Paul reverses it and goes, death nor life. Because death itself will not separate us. We're in Christ in life. We're in Christ even as we sleep in him in death. We are in Christ. I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels, and you think of the angels, you think, how, what angel would want to separate us? Oh, this must be the angels that were in rebellion. How about the rulers? You know, You think about Paul. He's writing this when Nero Caesar is running the empire. It's the guy, Nero's the guy who's eventually going to say, off with his head for Paul. Paul's saying, hey, this is not going to separate me from the love of God in Christ. Not things present today, not things that are going to happen tomorrow, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, is this good news or what? So what a privilege and what a joy on this day to welcome you to the table of the Lord, this table of no condemnation, this table of no separation, that in Christ Jesus we are His and we belong to each other, inseparable in the Lord. We're going to sing together a song now, and you know this song, In Christ Alone. But I invite you as we sing together to use this time to just reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, anything between me and you, show it to me. I want to offer it up on the offering, of that offering on this of sacrifice today. I want to give it up. Nothing between us, and that we will then receive our communion, the bread and the cup together.
We're going to sing a song. I think it's probably familiar to you. There's a line in this song. Every time we sing it, I wonder to myself, do we all understand what that phrase means when it talks about the wrath of God? It says, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. You know, it would be easy to understand that the wrong way. That somehow God was mad at Jesus, or that God is mad at you and me. That's not the case. The wrath of God was directed at sin. We're told in Corinthians that God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. Jesus literally became sin when he went to the cross and was nailed to the cross. Corinthians says that the body of evidence was nailed to the cross. Sin was nailed to the cross. Why is God mad at sin? Because it separated us from him. Because it worked a curse in our life. Because it was destroying us. If you love someone and you see something destroying them, of course you're going to be angry at that thing. I mean, cancer. How many of us are angry at cancer? Because it took someone that we love. And in the same way, God's wrath was directed at sin when Jesus became sin for us on the cross. The love of God is revealed in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your great love, that you would lay down your life that we might have life in your name. That you would give your body to be broken, your blood to be shed. That you are our life, the one who is risen from the dead. Thank you. We praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And yet on that night of that Passover supper, he took bread and gave thanks. And he said, this is my body broken. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. For in me, you have life. There's nowhere else to find this life. I am your life. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Scripture records that after they had supped, he took the cup, and we had given thanks. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Is that good news? Amen? That's good news. At such a cost, good news to you and me. New covenant in my blood shed for the many. And here, at the threshold of the year of our Lord 2021, we ask the question, Lord, can I be one of those many? Could I be one of them? And he responds and says what? He says, yes. Yes, whosoever will may come and drink freely of the water of life. Whosoever will is you and me in all God's people who say yes to his gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing, for giving yourself that your blood might be shed, that we might have life in your name. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time? What a gift he gives. What an amazing gift of life in Christ Jesus. I'm going to invite you to just stand with me right now, and let's stand together and let's lift our voices in praise as we thank him for this gift he's given, the gift of life in Christ Jesus.